the case, closing argument indicating. I don't know how many times I could have objected, but I didn't. Well, I'd like to tell her how many times, but I lost count. And some of them were pretty material. When you let a lay witness testify about the severity of the injuries, when he let that same witness, without foundation, testify that the defendant was a stalker, not an issue in the case, and just out of the blue, she testified, he's a stalker. No objection, and certainly words that a jury loves to hear about somebody as a stalker. Or when the victim's girlfriend testifies without objection that the victim told her that the defendant had a test. And that's one of the big issues in the ineffectiveness of counsel in this particular case. Is counsel's failure to raise or to ask for a third degree assault instruction. Now, he didn't present any defense at all. Didn't call in. Didn't call the defendant. Didn't call him.
There was no question that he committed an assault.
Absolutely not. And that's why there doesn't seem to be a reason not to call the defendant. There wasn't an issue of self-defense or anything like that being put forth. So there's really no reason not to put the defendant on the stand to go to the salient issue here, which was whether a weapon was used to cause the particular injury.
So you wouldn't be here unless your offense would have been offensive.
I don't think we would be. You know, we have to get to the problem of prejudice at this stage in order to present ineffectiveness. But if you look at the jury's questions out to the judge during the deliberation, they went back into chambers, or back into deliberation. And they asked several questions about they seemed to indicate they were puzzled about this, one, the severity of the injury, and two, whether a weapon was used. There was at least a sufficient defense put out and brought out through the state's witnesses the question whether a weapon was used. Counsel cross-examined several witnesses. One of the key witnesses who saw the start of the fight says she saw something shiny. She didn't know whether it was the defendant's ring or whether it was something else.
The victim testified.
He did. Again, his testimony is somewhat inconsistent with his description of the brass knuckles. He describes the brass knuckles as being a jagged, edging brass knuckle, something that would indicate a severe injury. Okay. The injuries that were testified to by the defendant were basically where bleeding was a cut lip. There was no testimony as to cuts on the rest of his face or anything like that. So I submit that the victim got beat up and I got beat up by a guy that shouldn't beat me up. I'm throwing the brass knuckle. Why? How else can this guy beat me up?
Was some testimony and evidence of the severity of the injury that would be consistent with brass knuckles when I use them?
I think the defendant testified to that. I think one of the lay witnesses may have testified to that. There were no
victims.
I'm sorry. Part of the problem in effectiveness of counsel is counsel put on the defense. Never tried to find anybody. Never called any medical testimony. Never put medical records into evidence as to what was performed on the defense. One of the questions that the jury sent out is, can we see the medical report? Can we see the emergency reports?
To the extent there may be some merit to the arguments that you're making, is the record sufficient for us to address the record?
I think most of them, no. And I think the state concedes that. The one about failure to challenge the sufficiency of the complaint. I'm sure you can address that, and that was an argument that was propounded on me by the defendant. And I'm sure you can address that. I think I may be able to address the failure to ask for the third degree assault instruction. I think there's enough evidence in the record that would have at least arguably supported that.
But which evidence, wasn't all the testimony supportive of some kind of weapon?
I think you look to the key witness in the case. One of the key witnesses, the girl that was there at the start of the fight and left. I think her testimony on cross-examination is she couldn't testify that it was brass knuckles. She said it was something shiny. I think she was asked whether it could have been a defendant's ring. I'm not totally positive about that. And she said she didn't. I think that's supporting that perhaps there wasn't a ring.
Was that the same? Was that the testifies that when he first appeared, he didn't have anything on his hand?
Exactly. So she supported a position of him putting his hands in his pocket and coming out. Again, another key. They searched his heart. I know he had time to hear himself and rest. No brass knuckles or rest. So we had, I think that supported us perhaps a third degree assault instruction is that in testimony it comes out that no brass knuckles or brass knuckles found. Okay? So all we have is the victim's testimony and the victim's testimony through another witness on hearsay that there were brass knuckles. So I think maybe the court may need to look further on this. This may be a post-conviction waiting to happen. But I would submit that perhaps on the third degree assault, at least, the failure to ask for an instruction, that the court may be able to address that. And on that, I'd ask that the case be reversed.
May I please report? My name is Melissa Vincent. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I represent the appellee of the state of Nebraska. I will be in this brief. I'll try to a couple of things that will raise my certificate of bar. First of all, I want to point out that this, to the extent that he's claiming his counsel failed to object to certain testimonies, such as hearsay or calling, none of those are among the claims that are raised here on appeal, so they're not part of the court. The second thing is, a number of the jury's questions that came out about where the medical reports or police reports, I believe that those questions probably came from statements that were made by defense counsel during closing, specifically on page 313 and 314. He was telling him, hey, we don't have the medical reports, we don't have the police reports, it's reasonable for you to want to lie. So that's probably what sparked their curiosity, that's why they asked if those items didn't necessarily reflect the ability of the witnesses here. But the third issue is the jury instruction on third degree assault. First of all, he didn't request it. And secondly, I don't believe that And I would point out that this court, in State v. McBride, which is 19-277, the case from 2011, said that where the prosecution offers uncontroverted evidence on element necessary for a conviction of a greater crime, but not necessary for the lesser offense, the duty rests on the defendant to offer at least some evidence to dispute this issue if he or she wishes to have shown just a lesser inquiry instruction. That didn't happen here. The uncontroverted evidence was that he was assaulted with something. The victim was close and personal. The defendant in this case said that they were brass knuckles. The other person that witnessed the assault said, well, he had something shiny on his hand. It wasn't there. Other than that, there's no evidence to suggest that he didn't do some sort of interest.
And she suggested, has it been green? Or was that just a suggestion by the brief? I can't recall.
No, I think she did say, I'm not sure if it is or green. I can't tell you what he did with brass knuckles because I recall from the testimony of Captain Thomas Smith, who's Chris Smith, which is Golding. His girlfriend's child, and Williams, whose first witness to assault, came down, took the child, and went outside the apartment complex. So there was really no distance where the assault was taking place, so that was inside the apartment complex. So she didn't necessarily have any place to put people, but she did say, look, he had something shiny on his hand. He pulled it, his arm went down, pulled out of his pocket, which is consistent with the victim's testimony, and he started hitting him. She just didn't say exactly what it was. And it appeared that it wasn't in your pocket. Just as Judge Pearl's pointed out, I think it's interesting that she's staying on the victim in this case. You're sure it's consistent.
So the defendant had testified that he did not use mass knuckles. Then the lesson was going to be.
Sure. Well, you know, as a matter of ineffective assistance, I think you could arguably it was a strategic, a legitimate strategic decision. Because if you look at this, you don't ask the lesson. So you're like, I can go, you can convince the jury. He didn't use brass knuckles in this case, and he gets acquitted. You give him a lesser included instruction, now he can be convicted of assault, even if they don't believe that he used a weapon. So he would walk on the second, but he'd be convicted of third degree assault. So there could be a legitimate tactical reason as to why he didn't request it, or why he didn't put on that evidence. But, you know, as you pointed out to Bishop, I can't divulge those claims are the record force the record mission.
So if you would have testified in the justification master, then he hadn't used brass knuckles from the brass fence, would it still have been in some of the fence that asked for the instruction on which court then still had that deal to have the instruction?
No, I think Snow makes it clear that Snow might have that thing. But in all that case also says that it's all a lesser included can't consider it over
objectively. And then Smith applied and why the lie is occurring before Smith before signing.
I believe so. I just think they go back, you read that the paragraph that addresses that, they talk about going way back, several decades, and they consistently tell that this is the rule or is not making explicit.
Yeah, I think the duty was always there, it just might have been is different going back some years.
Exactly, because they point out, look, this isn't consistent with what we said in the past, we're just clarifying it now, that in a non-homicide case, you got to ask, it has to be supported by the evidence. And if you don't, well, there's no error, which they don't error to give it. I think it probably the state could request it too if it turns out he gets up and testifies no, there's a chance that he might block on these charges. Then the state might have wanted to ask for assault just to make sure that they get something because there's no dispute that there's no committing assault. So that's really all that I have. So the court has an additional question.
Thank you.
And is there any
He has 37
he has
seconds.
37 he has seconds.
I can't say anything.
Well, thank you both. The case is submitted. Can you stop by the clerk's office and find the sign?
He did.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Parking was terrible.
And Jim Body is joining us. Good morning. I apologize earlier. I didn't let you introduce the bench. Marlene, Judge Pearl, Judge Bishop. All right, let's move on to our second case.